You're listening to Last Word Radio, where you get the last word.
It's gonna be a football game tonight, now, no doubt. It's gonna be a football game
here. Okay, I'm being here.
All right, let's go, baby.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
And the Ohio State Buckeyes are the first national champions of the playoff era.
Ladies and gentlemen, football to football.
Your host, Sean Garmer, Gary Vaughn, and Randy Isbell.
Hello and welcome to another Football to Football. This is our NFL Week 15 preview edition, where we will be in just a short minute here discussing the Thursday night football game between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the St. Louis Rams. We will also, of course, be previewing every game that's happening on the rest of the NFL Week 15 slate, including our Dallas Cowboys being at home taking on the surging Randy's New York Jets, where we'll be also doing the rival for that podcast, or for that broadcast, all three of us together. So that should be a fun, enjoyable Saturday evening. We also have the first of the college bowls to preview as well. We're going to be doing I totally messed up on the order that I told Gary, but I also have to fix that description here in a second. But we'll be doing everything up until what happens on Monday night from Friday afternoon to Monday night here. And then on Monday night, we'll preview everything that goes up until Wednesday night when we do our Week 16 preview, and then we'll take it from there whenever the order is from there. But we're not going to do them all in one show, because then we'd be here for like 3 hours doing college bowls, and I don't think anybody has time for that. But this week, I recently figured out what that whole song means where the kid says that he saw mommy kissing Santa Claus, that it finally means that the daddy is Santa Claus. I don't know why it took me so long to figure that out, but now I feel like an idiot. So,
you just thought mommy was really getting down.
You have a terrible echo, Gary.
Sorry.
You still have a terrible echo.
Not better?
Nope. I don't know what happened.
Weird.
Yeah, you sound like you're coming from some kind of chamber or something.
That is on.
Yeah, as you should be.
Both of you guys are. I don't know what the hell happened.
I think it's you, Sean, because I don't get an echo from Gary.
I don't get an echo from Randy either.
Yeah, but the bad thing is if people are hearing that.
We will check that out, but yeah.
We weren't having this problem.
Two podcasts in one.
Yeah, I don't know why that's happening. Really weird. Okay. Anyway, hopefully you guys aren't hearing that. But either way, so how did y'all's couple of days go since the last time we spoke? Either one of you at this point?
It's been good. It's been, just getting ready for the holidays, man. Still, got lots of stuff to do and figure out. So, man, besides that, things are going fine. I mean, looking forward to next week and getting everything ready for Christmas.
Randy?
Yeah, same thing. Lots of shopping, lots of just prep work, really. Just catching up on sleep before I never get it again.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah, really. Have to love it when That happens. But either way, I guess enough with the pleasantries. We should get on to this game that is not as close as the scoreline would have you believe. They're in the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis, where the Rams have pretty much most of the control for this game. It was a rally by the Bucks towards the end. Who knows if maybe Jameis Winston doesn't throw an interception on that one drive. Maybe they would have been able to make the whole comeback, but it came down to an onside kick with about a minute and 40 seconds left, and it was terrible. He tried to make some kind of like soccer pass, and it didn't even, I don't think it even went to 10 yards, but it went right to the Rams guy, and that was the end of the hope there for the Bucks, which officially ends their playoff hopes, the very slim ones that they had. And the Rams are now on a 2-game win streak with Case Keenum, so I guess that's a plus. The Rams also came out earlier before the game and said that they have no plans to let go of Jeff Fisher, which I guess they proved themselves right for one game here. But do you think the Tampa Bay might have just taken the Rams lightly? Because they were just pretty much the Rams came out on fire and just did not let them. They took advantage of everything. Of course, also there was a fumble by Doug Martin that didn't help things, but you know, what do you think happened here?
I don't think they really took them lightly. I think St. Louis and Tampa Bay are on equal footing, and you know, St. Louis at home, which they have played far better at home this season than on the road. So I wasn't surprised by this result and all. And in the end, we learned that mustard is better than ketchup.
Well, Gary, I mean, do you think they might have found their quarterback for the future now with Case Keenum?
You know, I don't know if it's the quarterback of the future. I really don't. I think he's still got a long ways to go before you say that. I love the kid, but, you know, my really honest love is from watching him in college and all that. So it has nothing to do with professionally. And so I think that, you know, he's a guy that has potential. But let's be honest, I think once they get into next offseason, they're going to be searching and searching and seeing what they can do to fix this quarterback situation. I don't think he's the first on their list.
Has anybody confirmed whether the echo was heard on the actual broadcast or not yet? I want to guess that's a no.
No, I'm actually listening to it a little bit right now, and I don't hear a terrible echo or anything, so I think we're okay.
Oh, boy.
Well, we sound fine. I wouldn't worry about it. I'll tell you if more.
I just don't know how it changes from one to the other. Maybe I need to make sure next time that I X out the studio and then restart it again.
No, we're fine. I just listened to it. We're fine.
Okay. Well, yeah, anyway, do you think that the Rams are correct in what they said with Jeff Fisher? Just we're going to keep him again?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not his fault that they traded for a shitty-ass quarterback that he was stuck with for a while.
Wait, it's not his fault? Isn't he the coach?
The GM makes trades, not the coaches.
No, but coaches has input, and he can tell them that some, he sucks.
Some input. Not all.
Jeff Fisher's a pretty veteran guy. We have no
I understand,
idea
but there are many, many times where a GM will make a move and I mean, listen, even if he had input, he has no clue how he's going to do in practice. I mean, he was put in with a really terrible quarterback. You're not going to put it on him. You know, they've played pretty well. They're close to 500, which I think that's where a lot of us put them at, especially with how good Seattle and Arizona are. So there's no reason to fire Jeff Fisher here.
No. You know what? Yeah, I'm agreeing with Randy on this. Jeff Fisher is still working on this team, and they've got some potential here. I still think the defense has a lot going for it. Offense, yeah, quarterback situation is terrible, but we did know. Right? Randy's right. We did know going into the season that it's a big problem and they thought Foles was going to be great, but I think we all kind of knew that Foles was going to be, you know, average at best. And so they've still got to figure things out. The GM needs to be the ones that they're really honestly looking at on the hot seat.
We'll have to see how that goes for the Rams, but I mean, honestly, this game, for one, it doesn't matter as far as the standings for the playoffs or whatever, but you know, if you're caring about fantasy, I made a great decision to make sure I started Tavon Austin before the game started because he got 2 touchdowns, and he actually looked pretty good breaking tackles, and he made the Bucks collide on the second one where he took it on the ground and just went through a lot of that defense. Todd Gurley didn't have the greatest of days, but he was efficient and got a touchdown, which also comes off a Tampa Bay penalty, which there wasn't a lot of penalties in this game, but Tampa Bay committed some dumb ones that kind of cost them at times as well. And Mike Evans had himself a freaking day. I think like 143 yards. He was pretty much like Jameis Winston's like only target, it seemed like, for the most part. He was going, everything was going Mike Evans' way. And if it wasn't going his way, it was just a mixed bag of everybody else. It was either him or Adam Humphries, and then when he finally had to start just slinging it around to get to the open guys when some of the other guys got involved, but, you know.
Yeah. I'm just really happy that, you know, we got Case Keenum, who had DirecTV and not the one that had cable. I'm just thrilled about that tonight. And going from there, I mean, Tavon Austin definitely did help. And Sean, you make a great point about fantasy. You know, you asked me that question last Thursday, and I was looking at it. You asked me Monday. I apologize. But, you know, looking at the whole thing and looking at everything, I was like, you know, not sure. You know, he's one of those up and down guys. You just never know. But the one thing you know in the Rams offense, he's a multi-utility player. You know, he's definitely a deep threat. And not only that, he's a threat at the run. So anytime you got those guys, it's always worth a shot. And tonight you took the gamble and it succeeded.
Yeah. So we'll be talking more about these, the full-time fantasy playoffs that we're in now. Of course, all three of us representing in the F2F League being in the conference finals, I guess you could say. I'm going against the guy that's been number one for most of the year, and Sean Lewis Wilson, and then you two are going against each other. So,
yeah,
that should be fun throughout Sunday and then Monday to see who comes out on top on that. At least one of us, again, as I mentioned, is going to the final there.
And I just am excited for Saturday when I can be on the rabble with you two laughing, as not only do the Jets take a bigger lead with these pick sixes that they're going to get, but I get a bunch of fantasy points because of it. So it's going to be great.
I do too. I get some fantasy points. I'm not sure what league I have in, but I picked the Jets defense up this week. So,
yeah, I have the Jets in one league. I can't remember which one it is, but we'll have to see. I certainly made sure that one league where I had to start the Cowboys defense, it's the only one I had. I made sure that I put them somewhere else for this week because I'm not getting -6 points again. But I guess we might as well go ahead and get into our NFL Week 15 preview. And, of course, it has to start because it's the first game of the weekend on Saturday, the Cowboys and Jets. And the Jets come in on a 3-game win streak, of course, and they're going to be looking to go into Dallas and make it 4. If you're picking one guy that you have to start against the Cowboys, who is it? Who's the most valuable? I mean, Randy kind of has asked this question, but who's the guy you think is going to do the best against the Cowboys?
You know, you would think it would be one of the running backs, and I would probably say, yeah, one of these guys could have a great game. Powell has definitely done it a little bit better than, you know, before earlier in this season. They've been focusing on him a little bit more. Ivory's been a guy that you definitely got to start every week that he's healthy and he's actually out there on the field, and that's been pretty good for you. But, you know, I look at this, and I still think that Ryan Fitzpatrick has to be the guy. I just think that they're going to find ways to get the ball out to Decker and Brandon Marshall, and you've seen how Brandon Marshall's played this year. Just outstanding. And Ryan Fitzpatrick has given him every opportunity to do that at times. So I've got to go with Fitzpatrick because, you know, he'll be the guy that actually gets the credit for multiple touchdowns.
All right. Randy, who do you think?
Yeah, I go with his main weapon. I go with Brandon Marshall. Just like Gary said, he's just been amazing this year. He's the go-to guy, especially in the red zone, which is huge fantasy-wise.
All right. Randy, over-under. 6 catches for Dez Bryant in this game.
Oh, under. When's the last time he's had more than 6 catches? It seems like any time I watch the Cowboys this year, it's he's fighting to get 2 or 3. So I'm definitely going to say under here, especially if he gets stuck on Revis Island.
All right. Well, fair enough. How many times does Matt Castle get sacked, Gary?
I'll go with you know what number hit me? I'll say 3. I'll say 3 sacks. Lots of hurries, but I'll say 3 get there.
You think he throws more than 1 interception in this game? Technically, the interception that he threw wasn't his fault, so.
That's a good question. I don't know. There's definitely a possibility of 1 for sure. I think 1's a given. More than that, I don't know. I'm on the fence.
What do you think, Randy?
No, I'm going to say more.
All right. Does everybody have the Jets?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's move on to our game of the week, which is the Denver Broncos taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field. This one should be rather interesting as it's the Pittsburgh's high-powered offense against that Denver Broncos defense. And this, I think this is one of those times where we're really going to see if Brock Osweiler has anything going for him here, because that Pittsburgh Steelers defense isn't what the Broncos is, but they're no slouches either. Do you think, fact or fiction, Brock Osweiler continues the slide, the sort of kind of ho-hum games that he's been on?
I'll say fiction. I think he improves, but he's going to have to improve. I mean, obviously the Denver defense is the key to their team, but Pittsburgh's offense is rolling a little bit. I mean, even through hard times against a tough like Bengals defense, they're still putting up points. So I think this is a little bit more of a shootout than some people think, and Brock Osweiler will keep up with Big Ben as much as he can, really. But I think he will improve from the last couple of weeks.
All right, Gary, if you had to put a number on the amount of points, which defense gets you more points this week, the Steelers or the Broncos defense?
It's a great question because, I mean, really, honestly, you've seen what Big Ben's been able to do and the points that they've been able to score. And then, of course, you flip to the other side of the ball and then you look at the offense that Brock Osweiler has going for him. I mean, it's a good one, but can he run the ship? I'll say it this way. I'm still not a believer in the secondary of the Steelers. They've done a few things here and there that have been good, but besides that, not really. So I think I'm still going to lean towards the Denver Broncos defense. I think they have a great opportunity to get some fumbles or any other kind of takeover or turnover compared to what the Steelers could possibly do.
All right. I think, yeah, I'm going to stop it there. I mean, are you now I've lost my train of thought, honestly. Let's make a prediction.
Give me the Steelers at home.
It's just a tough game, but I'm still going to go with Denver. I think that they have the strength on defense to help them overcome.
All right. Gary's going to be on an island with us, and I'm going with the Steelers at home. I just think Osweiler might have a bad game on this one. So we go on to one of Gary's first games. Gary's going to have three this week because we have an uneven number thanks to the Cowboys and Jets being on Saturday. So, Gary, this is certainly going to be interesting because it's Carolina going into MetLife Stadium. Is this one of those games, Gary, where the Giants turn it up and we get – is this going to be a test for Carolina, or is it another walkover?
I think it's more of a test than some of the other teams they played. For certain.
So you're going to say it's more like the Eagles game when playing the NFC East instead of the Cowboys and Redskins.
I definitely think so, yeah. I mean, just because, you know, you've got talent out there. You've got Odell Beckham Jr. who's going to get a great test against Norman. Norman's going to have a big test ahead of him, and we'll see how much he celebrates this weekend, if he even gets an opportunity to. Because obviously, you know, Odell Beckham didn't win our player of the week last week because he was a bad player, right? I mean, he's an excellent player. He can make things happen even when it's unbelievable. So I think that's going to be interesting. I think Eli Manning is still a credible quarterback in this league that's going to make sure that, you know, he plays smart. He's going to find ways to, you know, get the ball out even if he has to dump it off to his backs. And so I'm looking at this game as being a little bit more higher score compared to what Carolina's used to. Now, given that, I still don't think that they're going to win this game, but, you know, that we'll leave that to what we're talking about. I think the reason is because this defense that Carolina has, they are great this year, and I don't know if the Giants are going to be able to overcome that.
What do you think, Randy? Is it going to be what Gary says, or do you think Carolina just keeps rolling?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I want to see how the offense works without Jonathan Stewart. Greg Olsen's a little banged up. So, you know, the top two weapons for Carolina right now, either out or banged up. You got to think it's going to be a big Ted Ginn Jr. game. And it really relies on the defense. I mean, obviously Norman is one of the best cornerbacks in the league. Can he somehow shut down ODB one-on-one and allow the defense to continue to do their thing? I mean, that's going to be the major question. But I don't see the Giants pulling the upset. I mean, I know it'll probably be a trendy pick because that's what the Giants do. And this is a trendy time for a winning streak to end right here. That week 14 seems to be really, really difficult. But I see it being close.
So on the Giants side, does Josh Norman shut down Odell Beckham? We've seen him shut down some guys.
I'm not going with that. I definitely wouldn't take that. I think that he's going to do an okay job. I don't see him definitely not. He's not going to shut him out.
Well, I'm not saying shutting out. I'm saying shut down as in he's not getting like what we see him, what we saw him do on Monday.
Yeah, I'll say he won't go as far as last week. How about the under 70 yards, Gary? Did you go that low?
Ooh.
That's where I see him at, in between that 70 and 80 range, maybe a touchdown.
Yeah, if you give me the touchdown, I will say that, yes.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, but we have seen Reuben Randall score quite a few touchdowns because he won't throw to Beckham on that play or whatever. So
I think that you're going to see this a game that Ty is going to have a pretty good game when it comes to that being one of the only options at times Eli has.
Fair enough. Who has the better game, Cam Newton or Eli Manning? Because we have seen Eli Manning, you know, when it's those games where he really has to compete, he does it.
That's a great question, and it's hard for me to go against what I consider the MVP of this league right now, and that's Cam Newton. And even if it's not through the air, it'll be with his legs. So I mean, I've got to give it to Cam Newton.
Yeah, I'm right there with him. Cam Newton all the way. I mean, I profess my love for this man a lot this year, and I see it continuing here.
How does the girlfriend feel about the professing your love to Cam Newton?
she's upset because it's not Aaron Rodgers, but
yeah. Oh, okay.
That's yeah, she's fair. Got her own crush.
So, like
most Packer women, you know, her crush is Clay Matthews, but.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Not double checking so much these days. Okay.
No. He did appear in, Pitch Perfect 2, so I guess he has that going for him. So, who we got winning?
Oh, I got the Panthers.
Yeah, Panthers.
Panthers. For me as well. I'm sorry, New York, you're not going to destroy or get close to... I just don't think it's going to be that close. I think Carolina wins by, like, a touchdown. It's not going to be what they did to the Patriots and really made them go down the wire like that. So we move along I guess we might as well finish out the rest of the NFC East here. The Buffalo Bills... going into Washington, where Washington has done really well, barring that Cowboys game on Monday night. And Buffalo has to win, or their slim playoff chances are done. Is this a case where do we finally see Kirk Cousins not do so well at home because the Buffalo Bills defense is coming at him in all waves here? We did see the Cowboys get quite a few sacks on that offensive line. I can only imagine what Rex Ryan's going to do to them. Right?
Yeah, this is the hardest game for me to predict on like any facet. Period. I wish this game was in Buffalo, so it just like the only reason why I'm confused is because Washington has played so well at home. You know, Kirk Cousins throwing 12 touchdown passes and only 2 interceptions at home. And, you know, he controls the offense better. The team just runs better at home for whatever reason. So if it was on the road, I could just say Buffalo all day long and let's move on. But it's going to be interesting. I don't want to just put so much faith in Washington at home. But I think it's going to come down to the wire. Buffalo's defense is going to torment him all day. I don't see the running game really going on. You know, DeSean Jackson's banged up. I don't even know if he's playing this week. So it's just, I don't know why I have any faith in Washington at all, but I think it's going to be a close game.
Do you think it's going to be close, Gary?
I do. I'm right there with him. And the reason being is because I think both defenses are going to, you know, really try to put pressure on each other's quarterbacks. And I honestly believe that both defenses can stop the run. Not great. I mean, they're not, let's just be honest, wonderful at it, but they can do it at times and stifle drives. So they're pretty equal, in my opinion, at times. So I think it will be close.
All right. So on Washington's end here, would you say that it's going to be a battle between Tyrod Taylor and Kirk Cousins, or is it going to be another factor here that determines things?
For me, I look at this game, and what I just pointed out, the running game, I think both quarterbacks will be okay. I don't worry about them so much. Just because I don't believe in Washington's secondary. If they were better, I'd almost put money on Cousins. But I think it's going to depend on what either of the running backs, Matt Jones or Alfred Morris, do compared to what LeSean McCoy does in this game. And if you ask me right now, I put my money on LeSean McCoy, and I think that could give them the edge.
I just think LeSean McCoy is going to be rather angry from last week. I think he's going to make sure he takes it to the Redskins on this one. I mean, how lucky does LeSean McCoy get? He gets 3 NFC East teams in a row.
Mm-hmm.
To go want to destroy. I just see the Bills running game just wanting to go. I mean, we still haven't seen much from the Redskins running game in a while. So, you know, that's one of those factors that Yeah, and then if you don't have DeSean Jackson, that's really going to limit what Kirk Cousins does too. You know, he doesn't have that deep threat, so it's back into that giving it to Garcon, giving it to Jordan Reed, see what they do kind of thing, and that's going to let the Buffalo defense kind of control them a lot more. So, you know, how many I'm going to over under 100 yards and a touchdown for Sammy Watkins in this game. We've seen him do that quite a lot.
What do you think, Randy?
Yeah, I can see it over. Like, the more I look, just keep looking at this game, the more I just do not want to put faith in Washington. So, yeah, give me the over for that.
All right, who's your prediction?
Yeah, give me Buffalo.
This was Randy pointed out earlier, and it definitely is a tough game to pick, but I'm going Buffalo too.
I'm going Buffalo as well. It is going to be tough, but I don't know. I think Buffalo knows that this is the last hurrah here. They better win, and I think they're going to wind up doing it here, especially because Rex Ryan knows his butt is going to be on fire if he just keeps losing these games here. So the Eagles will have to get to at the end here. But let's move on to another game that Gary's doing. The Tennessee Titans going into Gillette Stadium against the Patriots.
Oh, boy.
Marcus Mariota, I feel bad for you. Not how many turnovers from Marcus Mariota?
Oh boy, yeah. You know what? Two. I'll say two.
What do you think, Randy?
Sure, this game is going to be ugly. Gary, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. I. You know what? I'm just going to take it as okay. This should be easy. One team did really great. That's about it. That's all you guys need to know.
how many touchdowns is Tom Brady throwing in this game? Over under four.
No, I'll say under. Just I think they go up early. They'll start running the ball, messing around with some of these new running backs that they have since Blount's out for the year, and mess around there, but I see him getting two or three really quick and then not meaning the second half.
Yep, I'm right there with Randy. I think that they don't have to worry about it after the second half, probably.
All right. Well, who do you... Patriots, everybody?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, do you think that Tennessee has... I mean, we've seen Tennessee defensively... Actually, you think Tennessee's defense could at least keep them in the game for a bit, or is this going to be
total blowout? I mean, they got Gronk back. They might have Edelman back. It's not looking good.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you bring all those weapons. I can't imagine.
Plus, you give New England now has a great chance to get the number one seed. Of course, they're going to go out there and try to get that, so...
Well, we move on to a battle of the AFC South, one that could decide it here. The Houston Texans taking on a Matt Hasselbeck that is ailing after Andrew Luck showed up and had some limited practice, but he's not playing in this game. So we go on again with possibly even Charlie Whitehurst against this Houston defense. That matchup looks nasty. How many times is Houston going to come sack whoever the damn quarterback is?
It's going to be bad. And even worse than that, how bad is it that the fact that there is a chance on Sunday that the two teams tied for the division lead on week 15 are quarterbacked by Charlie Whitehurst and Ryan Mallett? Because Brian Hoyer is not playing in this game either, so...
Well, TJ Yates, not Mallett.
Oh, is it Yates? Well, still, who cares?
Exactly.
Hey, TJ Yates has won a game or two, isn't he? Yeah.
I think he finished one out, and he may have won one. I had to look that up again. I don't remember.
He won the, well, he finished the Monday night one.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might have won the other one.
What's most important here, and that's for fantasy players, is I think still Hopkins is relevant because Yates can get the ball to him.
What about T.Y. Hilton?
That's what I'm concerned about. I know you almost have to start Hilton, but, man, I am really
debating on
it.
That's what I'm scared because I have Hilton in the same league as Amari Cooper, and Cooper's been doing terrible.
I like one quarterback versus the other quarterback, but I'm almost relying on Hilton because Cooper has not proven that he's going to do anything. So, and Green Bay's defense isn't wonderful, but I mean they're still stout at times.
Right. So I mean, on what about Chris Polk a possible play for anything? I mean, considering that's who they've been sort of relying on.
Yeah, I mean, Polk's, to me, a last-ditch effort kind of player. If you're depending on him, you're probably in the consolation round, or you're really desperate right now in your championship games, or your consolation, whatever you're in right now.
All right, so is everybody going with Houston here?
I'm going Houston.
Yeah, give me Houston as well.
I'm going Houston as well. All right. Well, here's we don't have to go too far. Seattle is at home against those Cleveland Browns who did look decent last week. Johnny Manziel, man, I feel sorry for you. So, I mean, that being said, though, you know, we did see Johnny Manziel get to run out there and do some things, and I mean, does Johnny Manziel throw a touchdown against the Seahawks?
I hope he throws like 7. Oh, that'd be so great. I hate Johnny Manziel, but just to go around where I live making fun of all the Seahawks fans because they got beat by Johnny Manziel. Oh, it'd be so good.
I would enjoy it as well, just because it'd be kind of funny to see Pete Carroll explain it.
I mean, you know, that Seattle defense, I cannot imagine they're going to let Manziel roll out and do his thing where he runs around and gets, you know, it's just, you've got Russell Wilson there who basically does the same thing. And that should be enough for you to know basically what to do against Manziel. I mean, so no faith in Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, right? You don't play them.
Well, if you are, you're at the bottom.
Hey,
of the
you played them last week, and Isaiah Crowell got you 2 touchdowns. And I mean, just saying.
That wasn't the Seattle Seahawks.
I know. Just, you know. So, how many points would you say the Seattle Seahawks would have, Gary?
In this game, I mean, this is kind of like the Patriots game, I really believe. I mean, they're not going to have to just score a ton to win this game. I mean, I think they score 27 probably.
I meant Seattle's defense, but.
Oh, the defense. Oh, okay. We're going to talk about the defense. I think the. If you're talking fantasy-wise, I'm looking at 14 to 15 points the least on their defense. I think they're going to get a turnover for a touchdown, and they could even get higher than that, but that's going to be very conservative.
All right. Everybody took Seattle, right?
Yeah.
I won't go for crazy.
Randy, you know you're not? Okay.
I want. Well, how about here's the bigger question: Does Russell Wilson set the record for most consecutive games with at least 3 touchdowns and no interceptions?
He should.
He's tied right now at 4.
Considering who he has at running back right now, yeah, he should.
Yeah.
I mean, even though you know it's possible, that's one thing I forgot to mention. I mean, we know Cleveland's I mean, Sean Drone, I mean, he's just kind of regressed since that one game where he was pretty decent. And we know Cleveland's running game is, or run defense is terrible. Is this one of those where, I forgot the name, Bryce Brown and, is it Juwan something?
No, it's Christian Michael now.
Christian Michael was on, he's back?
Yep.
Wow.
They cut the guy that Juwan whatever that went in for Rawls. They cut him because he sucked too bad.
Wow. Well, how does that's amazing that Christian Michael's already back with the Seahawks already. Yeah. Do you think any either one of them go off in this game or anything, Gary?
It's a good question, and you know it's hard to pick the back because of the fact that you just don't know who's going to be better.
Christian Michael would know the offense. So.
He would, but the risk you take with him is the reason that they got rid of him in the first place, and he is known to turn the ball over. And, of course, the Pete Carroll and, of course, the rest of that coaching staff will be honest with you and say, yes, he is a guy who drops the ball on the ground. I don't know. To me, this is a big gamble. Because you just don't know which back's going to go off. Even though Christian Michael may know the system, doesn't mean he's going to be the guy that gets the most points. So it would be too much of a gamble for me to risk my playoff game for.
Fair enough. Yeah. So we move on to another, well, it's a game that doesn't matter, but it's the Miami Dolphins going into San Diego. I don't know who's going to have the least amount of fans there, whether it's Miami or San Diego. We've seen the Dolphins' defense. They'll rush you, but they also have problems stopping you. Could Phillip Rivers kind of – we get to see the Phillip Rivers kind of go off here and have his 300-yard game and – much touchdowns, or is Olivier Vernon going to be making his life too hell or too much here?
Phillip Rivers has done nothing the last few weeks. It's like the entire San Diego offense has just given up. I mean, part of it is all the injuries that are going on. Part of it is the run game has been just abysmal. So I can't see them against an okay defense all of a sudden remembering how to play football.
Is that what you think too?
Yeah, I mean, really, honestly, from the samples that you have from this season and what he's progressed and done, it's not good. And so even against this Miami defense, I'm not sold on Rivers.
Well, how many points? I mean, I have Javon Landry in quite a few leagues. Can I really count on him this week then?
I feel like you can. I mean, there's every opportunity for him to have a good game here. You know, San Diego's defense is not stopping anybody, let's be honest. And the upside is greater than anything negative.
And we know Tannehill, without Rashad Matthews there, pretty much targets him on, like, seems like every play.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, what about Lamar Miller, Gary? I mean...
I think Lamar Miller could have another good game here, too. I feel like, you know, he's going to definitely be a guy that are going to depend on to keep the ball rolling and to see if they can move downfield a little bit better than they did last week against the Giants. So I think both those guys, Landry and Miller, are both guys you can look at and say, hey, you know, I can start them this week.
All righty. Well, I've got the Dolphins. What does everybody else got?
I'm with you.
Yeah, I just feel like the Dolphins are doing better.
All right, so we go to another game that could possibly be... Well, this one's going to be interesting because it's A.J. McCarron going against the 49ers defense that has shown up at times, especially when they're in San Francisco, against a Blaine Gabbert that's had a better... He's had time with his offense, and he knows what he can do in that offense. I think this became a lot more interesting than it would have been if Andy Dalton was quarterback, certainly. Which quarterback has the better day?
Give me A.J. McCarron. He has more more weapons, and really he looked okay against Pittsburgh, which is a very tough matchup. Obviously, if you're a Bengals fan, you would much rather have Andy Dalton in this game, but I think AJ McCarron's going to do just a good enough job. Plus, listen, I mean, the running back situation has not been the best in Cincinnati. You know, Hill has been basically a disappointment fantasy-wise, but the 49ers have been terrible against the run lately, and Hill is picking it up. So look for them to really kind of go all in the run game and let AJ McCarron just kind of game manage his way to a victory.
Gary, is this one of those games where are you expecting AJ Green to have a really good game? I mean, the one positive for the 49ers has been, I think they're still relatively high in interceptions, and they're still, you know, covering the receivers pretty decently. So is this a game where maybe AJ Green doesn't do so hot for you, especially considering you got AJ McCarron there, or are you worried about him at all?
I am a little bit worried. I just, you know, you don't know how well McCarron's going to be able to get, you know, the ball out to him. You just don't have the rapport there. I think that, you know, they can make life a little easier when it comes to calling these plays and finding other ways to get the ball to AJ Green. But, you know, I if you got him and you're playing him, you know, your fantasy football leagues, you got to start him. You can't bench him because, you know, there's always a great chance that, hey, he may get three touchdowns. You may get shocked, and you don't want to have that on your bench, right? So you're going to play him anyway. But realistically, thinking about this game, I think you got to keep your expectations very conservative.
Well, my big question is, I said it last week, the Browns got 9 sacks on Blaine Gabbert. So, can the Bengals get 10?
Oh, that's so much to ask. I'll go under that. I'll say about 5, but...
Gary?
Yeah, 10's that's a high number. I'll do one, I'll raise it to a 6.
I'll say they get a little closer, 7. But I mean, they just got those. They got those pass rushers, and you know, I could see Geno Atkins having himself a day, but we'll have to see. So everybody picking the Bengals here.
Yep.
All right. Well, Randy, you love you some Kansas City Chiefs, and you're going to be watching them here against the lowly Baltimore Ravens with whoever the hell is playing quarterback for them. Yeah, this defense should just be, you know, that's got to be like the lockdown start of the week if you're...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Chiefs all around I like in this game. You know, their offense has kind of slipped up, making a few mistakes lately. I see them cleaning that back up. Yes. Listen, we said this a few weeks ago as they started to make their run that their schedule was pretty cakewalk the rest of the way, and here's a prime example of it.
Gary, I mean, is this Navy a day where you start Alex Smith, or, you know, or
yeah.
Is there a Chiefs player that you feel maybe you don't trust, or considering Baltimore on both sides of the ball is pretty bad?
Look, I'm expecting Alex Smith to have a pretty good game here. I mean, he's not going to be, you know, a guy that's blowing the doors off, you know, this entire defense that the Baltimore's putting out there. But I think you'll have a good game. I think Macklin's going to be a guy you're going to want to have. I think, of course, West or, you know, Spencer Ware, both could be good options here. So overall, everybody you're looking at here on Kansas City's offense, you're probably going to start if you got them. I really feel that way. I just don't have any faith in Baltimore's defense at all.
All right. So Chiefs, everybody?
Yep.
Yes.
All right. Well, the Green Bay Packers are traveling to Oakland to take on the Raiders, who I guess technically still have also slim playoff chances here, where the Packers are going to be looking to really take, continue to have control of the NFC North. I mean, we have seen the Packers struggle a little bit here and there. I would certainly trust a Derek Carr over more of a Matt Castle that they played last week. And we did see the Mac attack, and we know that the Green Bay Packers offensive line is very susceptible to having Aaron Rodgers. Do you think the Mac goes back on attack here, Gary? Do you think he can maybe get 2 or 3 sacks on Aaron Rodgers?
I do feel that way because of what we saw even last week against the Dallas Cowboys. They got plenty of pressure at times on Rodgers getting sacks, and is it going to lead to anything? To anything else? I don't know, but I do see Khalil Mack having a pretty decent game here, and I could definitely see him getting it. 1 or 2 sacks. I mean, he could get more. I Aaron Rodgers is pretty good at getting the ball out of his hands. So unless that defense is able to crowd those receivers, which I don't know, they may be able to. If they can crowd the receivers, Aaron Rodgers will get sacked, up to 5 times.
What do you do with Eddie Lacy, Gary?
Looking at Eddie Lacy, he had a pretty good game last week. Not bad at all. But I think that, if you've got him and you're looking at him to have a lot of success, I think you got to keep your reservations a bit. They're starting to use him more. I like the fact that, his head coach, I think, believes in him a little bit more now. So I think you got some potential there. I mean, he's a running back too for me.
Randy, do you feel like you can trust Amari Cooper?
No, he completely disappeared. It was surprising. So the trust is kind of gone. I think he's going to have an okay game, maybe some junk time.
Something not just, zero again.
You would hope not. I mean, back-to-back zeros, that would be pretty shocking. But I don't see him having a huge game.
You see anybody having a huge game for Oakland?
Maybe Derek Carr, fantasy-wise, because of junk time. I think Green Bay dominates in this game. I liked how they look now that McCarthy has the reins again. So I think they go out and they kind of control this game. But, junk time counts just the same.
Everybody got the Packers?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Seems like we've been saying a lot.
Yeah, I know. It's not that hard of a week, you really.
So we do have a divisional matchup between the Chicago Bears and the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, the Bears trending downward now that they're pretty much out of the playoffs, sort of. And the Vikings are, locked in that wild card, but they want to keep pace with the Green Bay, of course. How many over under a touchdown and 100 yards for Peterson here?
No, I'd go over it. Even though it's a divisional matchup, Minnesota look, they have to win this game. I mean, losing back-to-back games and now at home, they have to win this. Adrian Peterson knows they have to win this, and he knows he's the key to do it. So I think he goes out there and runs wild here.
I have to agree with Randy. Peterson's the lifeblood of this offense. And for them to be successful, Peterson has to be successful. So I'll go with that.
Does the color outdo Bridgewater? Or is it not going to matter because Peterson's going to be running crazy on him so much that...
I think Peterson's going to run pretty well in this game, and I think he could run the clock down on Chicago. But that's also why I could see Cutler maybe having better numbers, but, maybe not getting the win.
So you'd say definitely Alshon Jeffrey one to go for then?
You got to start Alshon Jeffrey no matter what, but I could definitely see Jeffrey getting a touchdown here.
All right. would you say Minnesota's defense is playable, or
do you think
Cutler would score too many points on them?
I'm kind of curious what Randy thinks about this, but for me personally, they're a very average defense, and I'm hopefully not depending on them.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, around 10 points, I think, is what you can expect, possibly a little bit less. A couple turnovers, but they're going to give up between 15 and 20 points.
All right, so everybody picking the Vikings, I guess?
Yes, I'm guessing another sweep.
Yeah, no, probably.
Yeah. Vikings, yes. At home, I think it's... Even though the Bears play much, much better on the road. So they're terrible in Chicago for some reason. So we get to a game that could be really interesting, possibly even wake up the Atlanta Falcons out of their slump with the Jacksonville Jaguars coming into town. And prepare your... you know, if you're playing a drinking game to see how many, you know, passes are completed or anything, prepare to get drunk. So, who has the better day, Matt Ryan or Blake Bortles?
Oh, that's not even a question to me. Blake Bortles.
Hey, we know Jacksonville's defense, you know, at times is...
Yeah, well, I also know Matt Ryan right now.
Randy speaks the truth. I would go Bortles as well. He's just proven to be too good. And Matt Ryan, he's going to have some success here. I mean, heck, I even think he's startable this week. But at the same point, I mean, I still think Bortles does better.
Well, okay. Maybe a more fair statement is Allen Robinson or Julio Jones, who does better?
Oh, man. I mean...
That's a fair question. It's just because Jacksonville has more weapons right now. So I'll say Julio Jones in that matchup has a better day.
I'll play devil's advocate. Why not? This will be fun. I think Julio, if they can find ways to slow Julio down a little bit, Allen Robinson will probably have a good game. Maybe Robinson gets a touchdown over him or something. I don't know.
All right. Well, Julius Thomas, I think this is – either second consecutive or at least 2 out of 3 he's had a touchdown. You see that continuing for him?
I certainly do. I think he definitely has a great shot of it.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, it's Atlanta at home where Atlanta tends to play better.
but they are in Jacksonville.
Oh, they're in Jacksonville? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I wrote that wrong. Okay, well, you know.
I'm going to take Jacksonville, too.
Jacksonville, yeah. Yes. I'm going with Jacksonville, too. Especially because, again, you know, one of those two teams are going to cancel each other out for a loss. And that's going to help Jacksonville out between the Texans and Colts. So, you never know. I think the only thing we left is the two... night games. I'm going over making sure not forgetting anything, but all right, so a big game for both teams here. Arizona clinches the NFC West with a win in Lincoln Financial Field against the Eagles, who obviously they will get the benefit of knowing what happened to all the other teams in the NFC East before they play. So every team has now had one opportunity at this, it seems like. Which defense performs better here, the Cardinals or the Eagles?
No, it's Arizona here. This is the perfect matchup for Arizona. The only way it'd be better if they were at home. Just the Eagles just match up so terribly against them across the board. I mean, no Jordan Matthews in this game. The running back situation is still dicey. And Arizona's defense has just been too good. And then on the other side, you know, you can throw on Philadelphia, and they have 97 people that you can throw it to for the Cardinals. So as much of this is a huge game, and maybe you can make an argument for Philadelphia pulling the upset at home, I just don't see it.
It's hard for me to see it either. I mean, just is there anyone on the Eagles that you could even remotely think about playing, Gary? I mean,
yeah, no one I trust. Let's put it that way. The running game, I think, is going to be stifled. I just don't imagine anybody is going to be able to run on the Cardinals. I mean, man, Ryan Matthews would still be the higher potential guy for me. But no, I'm not trusting many people. And I definitely don't trust the rest of these Eagles receivers, so no.
Is this a case where you start everybody for the Cardinals? I mean,
that's the way I'd go.
You don't know who's going to be getting scores, though, so that's the only problem.
Yeah, I think you're starting the three main wide receivers, you're starting the tight end, you're starting the running back. I think the only person you're not starting is whoever the hell the backup quarterback is in this game. That's about it.
Who knows? Maybe Mark Sanchez comes in because it's that. So is it going to be a blowout then? Are you saying it's...
Yes. I'm going to predict over 20-point victory for Arizona.
Jeez.
Wow. That's a... you know what? I may go a little under that. I'd say a 10-point victory, but I think it's because we're talking junk time, and I think Arizona's already kind of, hey, go ahead, scored points. That's fine.
All right. Yeah, so we all got Arizona for that one. So Monday Night Football, a game that will probably not matter at all by the time they get to, because I'm sure somebody that New Orleans needs to lose will have won, and they will be officially out.
Finally.
It could potentially be entertaining because Matt Stafford and Drew Brees, you know, they know how to sling the ball. So Calvin Johnson had what I think it was 16 yards. Would this be a game where you feel like you can trust him more starting in then? Gary?
Calvin Johnson, you said?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. I think Calvin Johnson will be just fine in this game. I mean, who's going to stop him in the New Orleans defense?
Yeah, true. Which quarterback do you start then if you're...
You know what? I think, you know, both quarterbacks have a case. I really do. Brees is, you know, doing just fine. And the Detroit defense isn't going to... just destroy him. I think they'll be able to pressure him for sure because they've shown this year that they can get to the quarterback. But I think that's also the reason why I'm going to give it to Matthew Stafford. I think that he's going to have more time, more opportunities, and I think that's what's going to get him to be the better stat guy.
What do you think, Randy?
I'm right there with Gary where, I mean, if you're in the semifinals, you probably have somebody better than these two. But if, say, you had an Andy Dalton and, you know, one of these guys had been dropped or something or had been your backup, you're very happy to have them. I think this is going to be a high-scoring shootout where you can pull off a Monday Night Miracle in your semifinal matchup if you have either of these guys starting.
Well, who are you going to pick?
I'm going to Detroit.
Give me New Orleans.
It's the Saints at home. It's hard for me to pick against them. I'll say the Saints. Well, we got the start of the college football bowls begin on Friday afternoon. And we're going to start breaking them down here. We're going to go all the way from the Celebration Bowl to the Miami Beach Bowl today. And then we'll pick it up from there on Monday night. But, whatever, start us off here, Randy.
Yeah, so we're going to start off on one that's not technically a bowl, but they put it into our college pick'em deal, and that is what they're calling the Celebration Bowl. It is basically a championship game between the winner of the SWAC and the winner of the MEAC Division II teams, just kind of a fun little get-together. I mean, technically there's as much talent in this game as there is with some of these other bowls that we're going to see. So your first game that you get to pick between is Alcorn State versus North Carolina A&T, and I'm not going to promise or pretend that I have any idea what's going on with either of these two teams. So I'm just going to take the second team. Give me North Carolina A&T.
I'm with you. I got them too.
I'm going with North Carolina A&T because I actually know them from basketball. So, yeah. And they're at home, so, or they're in the home slot, so let's go with that. Yeah. All right,
that's just a goofy one. We'll see what happens. But let's get going in the actual bowls, and let's get one that just starts out weird. The New Mexico Bowl, where you have Arizona versus New Mexico. Okay. Do either of you think that the home team in this bowl game is going to be the victor?
Shoot, man. Arizona should be able to beat them, you know. Yeah. We've all heard Randy in the Pac-12 discussion. I'm going to say Arizona, but I don't feel – if we were doing confidence picks, it'd be on the lower tier.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Sean. I've already picked Arizona, but, I mean, it's so tempting to pick the home team.
Yeah, I'm going to Arizona, too. If Arizona was ranked, maybe I go with New Mexico again because of just how weird the Pac-12 was this year. But they're not ranked, so I think they're safe, even though technically they are on the road. We brought this up in our early previews, but the Mormon Bowl – in Las Vegas, is what I'm calling this now. You have BYU versus number 22 Utah. Give me Utah here. I like their running back Booker over 1,200 yards this year. I think it's going to be a lower scoring game, but give me the Utes here.
You know what? I enjoyed watching both these teams this year in college football, and trust me, staying up late watching them has been fun, but I've got to go Utah here.
I'm going to go Utah as well.
All right, so can one of you guys say Camellia Bowl? How do you say that?
Yeah, Camellia Bowl, yes.
Sure. Ohio versus Appalachian State making their bowl debut, and I'm actually going to go with them. I think they rise to the occasion, you know, and as a first timer, they won 10 games this year, so I'm going to stick with them. I'm sure their competition has not been great. I'm looking at their schedule, and I'm seeing Idaho and Troy and Arkansas State and the University of San Antonio on their schedule, but, you know, they were basically doubling their opponents this year score-wise. So give me Appalachian State.
I'm going to go with them as well.
Hard pick, but I'm going to go with Dexter Coakley's school, Appalachian State.
Okay. All right. Now we get to basically one of the worst record-wise bowls, and that is the Cure Bowl, where you have 6-6 Georgia State.
You can cure us of these terrible records.
Oh, my God. Against 5-7 San Jose State. It was bad. Basically, this is two offenses that are completely different. You have one that does it mostly through the air, which is Georgia State, who is averaging 350 yards passing, basically, versus a running game that has a running back named Irvin, who finished the year with 1,469 yards and 13 touchdowns. When you get to a bowl game like this and you have a team like Georgia State, who, by the way, has a total of two wins in their previous three seasons, turning it around just to make a bowl game, give me the team with the running game and more composure. Give me San Jose State here.
I'm going with Georgia State since I remember them from March Madness and the coach that fell down and all that stuff.
Yeah, San Jose State. That's I'll just go with them. I like that. I'm with Randy on this. If you can run the ball well, you can run the clock out.
All right, then you have the New Orleans Bowl with Arkansas State versus Louisiana Tech. Two other teams that I'm sure you have seen several games of this year. I'll go on a limb. I'll take the sim. Who did I take? Hold on. When do you guys go? I closed my thing on accident while I was flipping.
So we're talking about the New Orleans Bowl, right?
Yeah. I took Louisiana Tech. Sorry, I closed out the wrong window.
I went with Arkansas State just because normally Arkansas State does pretty well in these kind of things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I as well, I chose Arkansas State. You know, nothing I can really say. I have a lot of confidence, but I do think that Arkansas State should win.
All right, and then we got one more on Monday before, you know, our next podcast, so we'll talk about that one real quick. It's the Miami Beach Bowl.
Not going to that, by the way.
You should. Could be good. You have the 11-2 Western Kentucky Hilltoppers against the 8-4 South Florida Bulls. So, Sean, I know you're not going, but do you take the quote-unquote home team in this one?
No, I'm going with Western Kentucky. They're actually pretty decent in football. You know, Gary and I had to watch them a lot when, you know, North Texas was still in their team conference with them. So I'll go with Western Kentucky.
Okay.
Ditto. Yeah, I'm going Western Kentucky.
Kind of the same game we were talking about with San Jose State and Georgia State, you know, a passing game versus a running game. South Florida almost 250 yards rushing this season. But I like this combination stat-wise. Again, I haven't really watched a lot of Western Kentucky. For the Hilltoppers, their quarterback with 45 touchdowns this year, over 4,500 yards passing. And his main target, Taylor, has 17 of those touchdowns. So I want to see that combination in person. It's going to be a good preview before Monday night where they start throwing the ball all over the place. So give me Western Kentucky.
Yeah, so I figured out what happened with this. When we were trying to do the wrestling podcast earlier, I couldn't hear them when I would try to click it over to the thing we're using now. So I had to make it to where it would listen. And then when it normally works, if I press that, it'll create you guys having an echo in my headset. Sort of like how I used to have an echo for myself when we had to do it the other way. So that's what was happening. Everything was fine. And I finally just was like, oh, let me click this button. Oh, and now you all sound like you're supposed to. Yeah. So I wish I would have found that earlier. But, yeah, I mean, we'll start with the famous Idaho Potato Bowl we'll be talking about some of these games after their we'll be previewing with that game all the way till the GoDaddy.com bowl. So
very exciting.
Yeah. Yes. Hey, one of them is going to be Boise State and Northern Illinois. That could be pretty good.
No, I agree. I honestly, and this is the way I look at a lot of these games, trying to predict what's going to happen in these games is such a headache because, I mean, I may have seen 10 minutes of some of these games just flipping through channels and stuff throughout the year. But I have no clue. We have no clue. But the games are usually a lot of fun. I mean, Sean, you and I will have conversations where I'm like, I do not want to talk about this game for more than 5 minutes, talking about some junky NFL game. And then it ends up being close. So it's fun to talk about how close it was. I think the same thing is going to happen with these college games where it's like, we don't know, and then we come back on Monday and go, oh my God, did you see that 72-70 game yesterday? Oh, what a bowl game. So who knows, I mean, which games are going to be close and which ones aren't. So,
well, should be fun. We'll have to see. Maybe the best one will be that one that's not even a bowl. Who knows? But we'll be back, of course, on Monday night really late, or Tuesday morning more likely for most people, discussing, of course, that Monday night game, and then all of NFL Week 15. Hopefully it's an interesting week. We'll be discussing some of our favorite games from the college bowls that have happened, and of course previewing those next set of college bowls there. The last thing we got to do is, I guess, pimp ourselves, which, you know, if you've enjoyed what you heard here, you can subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever it is that you find podcasts, to this podcast individually, or you can go to iTunes and Stitcher and subscribe to WTM Network completely, where you can get also our wrestling podcast that we just finished doing, where we review the NXT TakeOver London show, which I think even Randy really enjoyed. That was something that was really fun to watch, and it's going to be the last big show of the year, probably, so on to 2016 after that. And then, of course, we missed it last week. We finally got to talk about everything, plus that Nintendo Smash Direct, where they announced that Bayonetta will be a character in Smash in February. And, of course, Cloud came out that day. I already bought him today, so he was fun to play with. And, and then, of course, Randy has his podcast, which he will tell you about.
Yeah, definitely check out backlogbesting.com, where we go through some of the games that have just slipped by our gaming history, and go back through and see if they stand the test of time. Our podcast that comes out on Tuesday will be a little different, where we kind of just do a year in review of all the games that we played throughout, kind of give out some makeshift awards, and give a little preview of what we're thinking about playing next year.
Sounds interesting, certainly. I'll be checking it out, because you guys are always entertaining, and just to know if there's going to be any big games that I'm a fan of to listen to, and I'm sure everybody else can feel that way, too. You know, if you're a big fan of a game, you're going to want to hear them talk about it, because they might have a same opinion as you, or maybe different, and then you can go in there and tell them why their opinion sucks, or why you totally agree. That's what's fun about these things. And you can do the same thing. You know, you can go either on Spreaker, where the podcast is, or, you can write a review, rate and review it, and tell us what you think about this podcast, if you like the format, if we can do something to improve it, or whatever strikes your fancy. But, since this will be the last, this won't be the last time we see you, so we'll see you on Monday night, where we get to tell you our, why didn't we do the whole Merry Christmas on the podcast before? Because we still technically are doing another one before.
It's Christmas season. Why not?
Yeah, I guess. So happy holidays to everybody. Hopefully you've enjoyed what's left of them. A happy birthday to my grandpa, who turned 92.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yesterday, technically. So.
He's finally the same age as Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
God.
Or at least the weight, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure my grandpa would love to have all those Nationwide and Papa John's commercials, though. Aside from that, we will bid you adieu and be back on Tuesday. Enjoy the games, and see you later, everybody. Peace.